told, meeting the mission mandate in our own community. When I saw that video, I thought that perfectly illustrates the Western Church, who's well established in a community, and the community's well established, and we could say our community has been evangelized. Never forget that our commission is the Great Commission, found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, that says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain that Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age.'" When we consider the Great Commission, there are four action words that are good to remember. They are go, make, baptize, teach. Go where? Jesus said, to all nations. And all nations includes those next door. So today I want to talk about North Street Christian Church and the commission of the church at large. I want to give a sort of a State of the Union address, except it's a State of the Church address, at least in part, a NSCC evaluation, to say, how are we doing? And then challenge you to go forth into the world, including the people you live around and work with. Today, at the end of worship, you'll be receiving an annual report, if you stay, for that annual meeting. And you'll find in there that we're doing a pretty good job in a lot of areas. In that report, you'll find out that financially our church received about $300,000 last year, and we spent about $300,000. We had a little bit left over. But in addition to what we used here locally, we gave away $125,000 to missions in one way or another. Now, that included our going to Mexico and our going to Thailand. But upwards of 30% of what comes into this church goes back out unto the nations. So he said, go. And we're sending and we're going. But locally, if you observe, our attendance and our growth remains fairly static. Our church happens to go from around 210 or 220 up to 270, 280. We hit our head in the ceiling and then we gravitate down, then we go back up and gravitate down. And that's been our cycle for a number of decades. On the average, we have 6 to 20 baptisms a year. And we might say, well, that's not so bad in a saturated field, but we certainly could be paying more attention to the people around us. And the only way it's going to happen is if we go one to one. It's not as simple as holding a program, inviting people to come. I think it takes us taking a personal interest in individual people and making the effort to share the gospel of Jesus with them. Now, I want to illustrate with you how alive we are. If you have one of the new sheets, you might want to take that. Just this past week, we had a Art of Marriage study that we've decided to do, and we're doing that in conjunction with Family Life Ministries, and that'll be held February 10th and 11th, or is it 11th and 12th? 11th and 12th. And Mike and Sherry Singer are going to head that up. Andy, would you head back there to the singers with your microphone? I asked Mike and Sherry to say something about that. But we believe in family, and we believe in marriage, and we want to do something to promote good marriages in our church. And so I would say to you, take this under consideration. If you're going to be married in the church, I want you to come. If you're happily married, I want you to come. If you're not so happily married, I want you to come. If you have a good marriage, I want you to come so you can have a great marriage. So Mike and Sherry, would you share just a couple of words about the Art of Marriage and how that's going to take place?
Well, after a write-up like this, there isn't really much more that we can add. But we do encourage everyone to please prayerfully, very prayerfully today, consider coming. If maybe just to a Friday night or a Saturday, we do have brochures here of topics and speakers that I would like to please preview them and read the message up there. I think that this. Just the whole outreach nationwide for the marriage itself is really struck our hearts.
Amen. And it's such a blessing to have a couple stand up and say, we want to lead this. We're not sure if it'll be held at Legacy here in the building. Depends on how many couples sign up. And it's a video course, and we really want to encourage people to come. Then if you move down, my next sermon series starts next week called The Church, Passion with Expectancy. And the sermons are called out, passionate, expectant, focused, non-sterile, countercultural. And so for 6 weeks I'll be preaching, and you'll have the opportunity for 8 weeks, and the courses might only last six, depending on the leader, but you could go to Doug and Lisa Emmett's house for The Hole in the Gospel on Friday nights. You could go to Terry Hartman and Shannon Hartman's house for When God People Pray on Friday nights. You could come to Legacy on Sunday nights. I'll be leading a group called Forgotten God, Reversing the Tragic Neglect of the Holy Spirit. And we're looking for more small group leaders. Those three courses are video courses. If you would say, hey, I want to keep mine small. I want it to be at my house. I just want six or eight people, and I'll invite them. We'll provide the videos and the leaders' guides for you. And we're looking for group leaders if you'd like to come to one of those. And the Church Awakening, we don't have a location or a time for that or a leader. So just be paying attention. Next week we'll have more information about those things. The Sunday night group next Sunday, of course, will not meet. It'll start on February the 13th because there is already a preempted thing called the Super Bowl that we might have our own small group if we tried to hold it then. So, been Valentine's Day. Besides this being this weekend, Michelle Cousins has put together a breakfast for single folks. And our youth are headed to the Creation Museum. Our men are going over to Cleveland at the end of February. There's ladies' Bible studies on Tuesdays, other sisterhood events. And I just want to say, you know, in all the things that we offer, and maybe we've gone overboard. You know, I don't know, are we able to do this? But the Scripture says they did more than they were able, so we continue to function by faith. Of all the things we do, we still would have people say, but there's nothing for me at North Street Church. We have a great children's ministry, a great youth ministry, and that's hard to believe, but I'm simply saying, when we take a look at North Street Church, and the drawings up here, we just need about $1.5 million, and Terry will be talking about that, to finish what we started. I say, how are we doing? So I say this, in our going, I think we're doing pretty good. Thailand, Mexico, other places. We take kids to day camp. Not bad. In our teaching, certainly there's lots of it. Good job. In our making disciples and baptizing, I want us to concentrate on that this year. I want you to agree with me that yes, the told need told again. Because it's real easy to say, you know, I already invited them. I already went there. The church I used to go to, they used to go there. I don't think they're in church right now. Well, they need told again. So that is why I'm highlighting the phrase today, in our own community. See, meeting the mission mandate. What is the mission mandate? To go, to make disciples, to baptize, to teach. And we can do it all over the world. But we need to do it more intentionally through North Street in our own community. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, Andy, you can come back and sit with your wife. I might or might not call on somebody else. So be ready. If you're in charge of something, don't go to sleep. For sure, I'll call on you if you go to sleep. 1 Corinthians 3, 6. The Apostle Paul said this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field. So there's a formula for fulfilling the Great Commission in the local church. Paul said, I planted the seed, Apollos came along and he watered the seed, and then God gave the increase. So very visibly, whether it's across the world or across the street, we are partners with God and we are partners with others. Sometimes we never know who planted the seed. We come along and water the seed. Sometimes we never know who planted or who watered the seed. We come along and get to see the harvest. And that's one of the joys of working in God's field. So I want to ask you, I want to say that evangelism is as simple as planting and watering. It's working in God's field. So let me ask you this. How often does a seed need watered until it sprouts? How often does a plant need watered until it bears fruit? Now, I happen to be a gardener, and I know once those seeds are planted, they need nurtured. They need the right environment. Not just one time. Not the day I plant them, but day after day after day. And so it is when we tell the told, see, when our neighbors already know, and our friends already know, and we say, well, you know, it's up to them now. I'm wondering, is it? Should it be looking at them like a seed planted? Or maybe a seed that needs sown again? Well, I can tell you this. The answer to those questions, how often does a seed need watered? How often does a plant need watered? The answer is, for sure, more than once. Because that's when the tender care is given. And that's the main idea of this message, telling the told, meeting the mission mandate in our own community. Looking at the people around us, I would say in general, they've been told. If we didn't tell them, some other gospel preaching church has. They certainly have been invited. We've held community evangelical events and so on and so on and so on. But obviously not all have been reached. Wouldn't you agree with that? So, the seed has been sown, the plant has begun to grow, but we might say, where's the fruit? Our response when we look at a plant that has sprouted but is not growing, or is growing but has not brought a harvest, our response is either water it or walk away. You can let it wither up and die, or you can pay some attention to it. And so it's as simple as we sow and we water, and we may even be the one who gets to see the harvest of a seed planted or watered years and years and years by someone else, or weeks and weeks and weeks by someone else. Or maybe that seed was planted when the person was a child and lied dormant in their life, and suddenly another watering of the gospel in their life, suddenly it sprouts and comes to fruit, and we reap the harvest. Surveys taken around the world say this: 98% of Christians do not share their faith on a regular basis. That means 2% do share their faith on a regular basis. Now, as soon as I give that statistic, your reaction could be, "Phew, I'm normal. I don't share my faith like 97% or 97 other people out of 100. I just joined the 98. Or your reaction could be, "Wow, you know, we better get busy and all begin to share our faith." Now, if there are 200 people here today, it doesn't matter to me if I'm preaching to the 200, or let me say the 196, or the 4. Because whoever has ears to hear will hear what I have to say. And so if there's 200 people here, it may be that only 4 of us say, "Wow, that's really true. I need to do more of it." But it may be that 2 more would join, or 10 more would join, or 50% would join. I don't know. That's up to you and up to the Lord. Well, I want to take a quick look at Luke chapter 19 today, and I want you to turn there with me, the first 10 verses, and I want to learn a great lesson about reaching others from Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. This is not an unfamiliar story. This is a story about Jesus and a man named Zacchaeus. And the scripture says, Luke 19:1, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector. He was a supervisor of tax collectors. And he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was. But he could not, because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. And so he ran ahead and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and he came down, and he received him joyfully. Okay, Zacchaeus received Jesus with joy. But when they saw it, that's the crowd, they all complained, saying, he's gone to be a guest with a man who's a sinner. How could Jesus, the one who says he's God, the Savior of the world, go home with Zacchaeus? Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham, he was a Jew, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, for certain, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. That's where the excitement came from. And we would see that he was an onlooker. He was curious about Jesus. He wanted to know more. And here we have Jesus' exemplary encounter with Zacchaeus. And there are five examples that I want to point out today concerning us telling those who may already be told. First of all, notice that he sought him out. Jesus sought him out. Here was Zacchaeus. He wanted to take a look. I think this is so interesting. See, he from a distance, he wanted to check Jesus out. But it wasn't simply that he wanted to take a look. It was that Jesus wanted to meet him personally. Zacchaeus climbing that tree. That's a little man. Remember, he was short of stature, making a big effort. And when he did, that can be a picture of us making all the effort we can to see God. But it's not in seeing God from a distance, it's when he knows us personally, that the difference is made, because no man can find God on his own. But going back to that, it says Zacchaeus got ahead of the crowd because everywhere he went, he couldn't see because he was short. And so he didn't care what people thought. He got out ahead of the crowd, and as the parade came by and the crowd came with Jesus, there was Zacchaeus up a tree. And so obviously he didn't really care what they thought. He was safe from the crowd. I want you to understand, as a tax collector and a chief tax collector, he would not have been a popular man. So not only did Jesus seek him out, he took a personal interest in him. He didn't just say, hey, Zacchaeus. He said, come on down here. And so he brought him into his own personal space, because he wanted to meet him. He wanted to know him. See, he called him by name and said, come here. Now, Zacchaeus was most likely rich, as I said. But he probably was lonely to some extent. Jericho, you know what the nickname of Jericho was? Because of a great grove of palm trees, it was known as the Palms. And Jericho, it was Josephus who said, it's a divine region, and he called it the fattest of Palestine. And so isn't it interesting, even in our own country, you know, we go to Palm Beach or West Palm Beach, we go to where the palms are, and that's how Jericho was seen. It was a wealthy place, high income and high taxes. And remember, tax collectors in those days didn't get a bill from the government showing what a person owed, or they did get that, but they didn't have to collect just that. The tax collector could tell you you owe whatever he wanted to tell you, as long as he turned in the money to the government. And so the chief tax collector would have been very wealthy, but seen as very dishonest. So here was the local tax collector, little Zach. Now, I wonder if he had LMS. You know what LMS is? Little man syndrome. You know, and sometimes when a guy's short in stature, he has to prove himself. You know, I sort of wonder, you know, did he act tough and big? And here's this little guy, the squeaky voice showing up at your door saying, you better pay your taxes. You know, he probably hemmed his robe a little short so people thought his legs were long, and they weren't. You know, maybe wore some boots under there instead of sandals. Who knows? But he might not have had the best reputation with people. But this one day, you see, something got his interest. He wanted to see. And Jesus said, hey, come down here. So he took this personal interest. And then he entered his culture. I think that's very important. Jesus went into his home. Now, it doesn't say what all happened in his home. It doesn't say what Jesus said in his home. And we'll talk about that in a few moments. But I want you to see that Zacchaeus was probably the kind of guy that was smiling on the outside, but hurting and crying on the inside. Looked so successful, had wealth, and probably, hobnobbed with the people that did. Power and luxury cannot mend the broken heart. Because in every side of every man, there's rejection and inadequacy and sin. And so a good point to be made, you see, here is to see how Jesus received Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus received Jesus, and then stand back and look at what the crowd said. The crowd was critical and said, look at that, Jesus. Now he's hanging out with sinners. He's hanging out with the tax collectors. And by the way, did you hear? He's been talking to prostitutes and all kinds of sinners. And I think that says to us, the church, that there's a time we get out of our holy huddle and we don't just say to the world, come on in, we're having this. Come on in, come on. We don't stop doing that. But there's times we go into their culture. And that's very dangerous. You see, because we become like the stealth Christians. We become like the men who knew how to determine the times. We become like the mighty men of David who take risks that we wouldn't normally take. And it's not for everybody. So I just want you to see that Jesus didn't say, hey, meet me tonight at 6, down at Panera Bread. He said, I'm coming to your house. And I'm sure he talked to his whole family. And then Jesus shared the spiritual truth. I think that's the best point of all. And I think that's the most difficult point of all. Because it's easy for us to say, yeah, I need to identify who's up a tree. And then I need to take a personal interest in them. And then I need to, go into their culture, go bowling with them, have lunch with them, go home with them, whatever it might be. But at some point, you've got to shift the gears and tell the truth. And Jesus did. What do you think he told Zacchaeus? I think he told Zacchaeus something like he told Nicodemus. Or something like he told the woman at the well in the Gospel of John. Somehow Jesus said, look, Zacchaeus, all people are lost. Born as sinners. I've come to save the world. The very mission I came was to seek and save the lost. You've got to know that. And Zacchaeus, it's by putting faith and trust in me that you can have the assurance of eternal life. And so when we go and we enter the culture, taking the personal interest, seeking out, there's a day, a time, a season where we tell the truth. Never forgetting that there are no sinners that God cannot forgive and accept if they'll just repent. Never forgetting that there are no sins so dirty and dark that the blood of Jesus cannot cleanse. Never forgetting there are no places so far that we can travel away from God that He cannot reach us by His hand for us to come back. That there are no people so bad that God cannot change their life. There are no hearts so hard that God cannot melt and humble him to obey Christ. There are no impossible or complicated situations in our lives that God cannot entangle to correct for our lives for God. And so we tell the same story. And then we see, lastly, that Jesus led him to live with integrity. What did Zacchaeus do? He repented and he restored. He said, right now, I'm sorry. Now, I can imagine, you think maybe that crowd stood outside his house and Zacchaeus came out and said, I have an announcement to make. I want to let you know that I'm going to give half of all that I of my estate to the poor. And listen, if you're out there and I have collected taxes from you, I want you to know that I've been dishonest. And whatever I've collected, I'm prepared today to return to you 4 times the amount that I took. You think he went one by one? I don't know. But there was action that was taken as a result of meeting Jesus. And so he was transformed from being greedy to generous, from selfish to selfless, from lonely to excitement with joy, from rejection to acceptance. You see, Jesus didn't drop him. He discipled him. He led him. He continued to teach him, just like the commission says. And so, if we're going to meet the mission mandate in our own community, what are we going to do? Obviously, the commission says go. But in our going to tell the told, shall we wait or shall we seek? See, shall we wait until they're ready? Or shall we take it upon ourselves to seek them out? What are you going to do? We've done a good job aiding. Are we going to answer questions if they ask them? Or are we going to try to develop a friendship first? See, get them out of the tree, then know their name. And I think there's none of us, you know, who would say, hey, you know, the people I work with, if somebody wants to know, I'll be glad to tell them. But that's not the picture we get from Jesus. It's not just answering the questions they ask. It's building a friendship. Say, hey, why don't we see what Jesus said? Why don't I come over to your house today? Thirdly, are we going to invite them or are we going to enter? See, we're just going to invite them. Hey, if you want to come, and sometimes that works. I'm not opposed to inviting, but sometimes we must go. Sort of invite ourselves into their world. Is that too bold for the gospel? It's not necessarily in our Western mind, in our Western culture, but for the sake of eternity, I don't think it's too bold. Are we going to eat or talk? See, I think that's where the exchange is made. Jesus just didn't go to Zacchaeus' house and Zacchaeus' family, you know, make a meal. I think that was part of it. He didn't say, hey, man, this has been so great. You know, it's good to be together. Why don't you come out to Bible study next Wednesday? He told them the truth. And with us, yeah, we might have to build a relationship and have lunch and talk about the weather once or twice or cars or whatever it might be is the common interest. But at some point, you've got to not just eat, you've got to talk. Not just fellowship, not just build a relationship, but tell them about Jesus. And then are we going to abandon or disciple? After somebody comes to Christ and they're obedient to Him and yield to Him and are baptized, do we continue to teach them or do we just watch them go on their way? And Jesus did it all. So here we are, 100-year-old living church. Now that's a great news. 100 years old and living. Because there's lots of old churches in our town that have either closed doors or sold out, or there's a handful of people. Not so at North Street. Life is in our bones. The workers are ready and the field is out there. See, God's field is out there. The workers are here. And it can't be that one or two of us go everywhere. All of us need to go somewhere. And that's how it'll happen. Now, I have to laugh, and I make mention of this in my letter in the annual report. At an elders' meeting recently, we were having a discussion over containing, you know, all of our Bible studies under a ministry department. And it wasn't until I started to pray at that meeting that it occurred to me, that's a great problem to have. That many churches probably are wishing people had an appetite for the Word, and we're in our meeting trying to say, now does this Bible study fit under congregational care and fellowship, or does it fit under Christian ed, or was it just somebody's idea? And it doesn't matter. You see, we want to bless the things of God, and yes, we want to be organized and well-oiled, but we're not here to, you know, steer people on some course that makes a name for North Street Church. We're here to be a kingdom-minded church. And that's why there's so much stuff available, because we want to bless the vision that God lays on people's hearts. And so the workers are here. But there's a step that we have to take, and it's to go there. So, I ask you, have the people of Butler been told? What do you think? I think so. But have they been reached for Christ? Obviously not. Have we met our quota in 100 years? Have we done our part? We could say, hey, you know, we do a lot more than that one does, or that one does, or that one does, but that's not the point. That's not even a valid question. So like the video we watched, we can train and talk and watch and wait and listen and spiritually work out. And we've done all that. But I think it's pretty clear that Jesus' method is to seek them out, to take a personal interest one by one, enter their culture, teach them the truth, and lead them to live honestly with integrity. So we can say every preparation has been made. When I see the guys at that fire station cooking, right after this, we'll be down fellowshipping around food, shining that fire truck. We spend a lot of hours around here shining up this building. Ladies cleaning the legacy kitchen this last week. Ladies cleaning the kitchen downstairs this week. Guys showing up to shovel snow this morning, painting this, tearing down, rebuilding. Okay, we've got the fire station. See? And, you know, you just listen. Hey, you know, rookie, we're not ready yet. I'm just not feeling it. I don't feel called. You know, meanwhile, all the houses in the community are burning down. The lady next door is crying help, and hey, I got to go answer a call. That reminds me of this place sometimes, and me. And so I want to say, you see, I think that we should follow Jesus' formula. Every preparation has been made. It's simply time to go. It's easier to go to Thailand than it is to go to 3rd Street. For me, how about you? Now, let me sow some seed or water some seed for just a moment. Maybe you're here today, and maybe the Lord sent you to check things out. And I think it's interesting that when we think of Zacchaeus in the tree, I want to remind you, we don't climb a tree to meet God. It's not by our own effort. It was by God dying on a tree that we can meet God. That's why Peter said he committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. So it's not just time to go, it's time to come. In a few moments, we'll be singing a song of invitation. And as we do, I just want you to know that today is the day. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, see yourself like Zacchaeus, making an effort to check him out. You're here for a reason. And see, as Jesus called him out of the tree, see the words that I've shared today saying to you, you have found the place to come that you might find Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And as we sing today, I want to invite you to come forward. I'll be up front, the elders will be up front, and as we sing, we invite you to come. Or perhaps today you want to say, hey, you know, I'm agreeing with what Pastor Bob said this year. I'm not just going to live the life, I'm not just going to say, if you want to come, come, or if you have questions, I'll answer them. I'm going to seek out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people this year, and enter their culture and say, this is what you need to know. Or if there's any need that you have, if you're sick and want prayed for, if you're going in the hospital, want prayed for, if you're bereaved or hurt or mad, sad, whatever it might be, this is the prayer place. We invite you to come.